Welcome back for another episode of the Radelaide Summit Podcast. This week's episode, we cover another round of the Super Series is run and done. I'm back from an adventure in New Zealand, land of Kiwis. Special guest Microwavably Unsafe joins us, and of course, much more. Come along for the ride.
Now, if you're new to the podcast and haven't listened before, each week we scour the Strava leaderboards, watching you do your efforts up Norton Summit and discuss them here on the podcast, whether you like it or not. Now, there's a chance we might shame you, but we promise not to name you personally, and the odds are high that we'll probably shame ourselves because we're not as fast as you, especially me getting dropped up there this week.
I know. Algerian. How is that?
Look, at the end of the day, our goal is to encourage and celebrate everyone else going up, Adelaide's best hill climb, Norton Summit, and reach their goals. So with that, let's introduce ourselves. We are your summiteers. Alex.
Hello.
Kashi.
Ciao.
Frankie.
Arigato.
Oh, my God. Seriously, you will not read anything that's on that
Konnichiwa.
Table.
Microwavably Unsafe.
Hey there.
And I'm the Wang. Welcome, guys, and welcome, listeners, to the Radelaide Summit Podcast.
Arigato.
Oh, hi, gozaimasu, non desca.
As always, we need to know what has been happening on or around the summit this week. Might I add that we never go into anything that's happening on or around the summit.
We do. Very you just far don't pay away. Any attention. Last anyway. Week, I went up there, last one.
Beautiful. Yeah. Kashi.
How you going?
G'day, mate.
It's been 2 weeks.
Yeah,
it has. We had RDO last week.
Yeah RDO. The boss was away. This week, it's just been work, a little AWOL, according to...
You were a bit AWOL in the chats this week.
A lot of work, dad duties, bit of training, bit of crits. Yeah, that's about it, actually. Just absolutely slammed, to be honest. Bought a chainsaw today.
What?
Yeah.
Did you buy a petrol one?
No.
Oh, get out. Fucking EV people.
Yeah, the extendable arm on it so I can trim all the...
What for?
For trees at my house.
Normally chainsaw
because
cuts trees
down. That's what you use.
Yeah. So when you buy a house, there's a thing called maintenance.
Yes. Yeah,
shit doesn't fix itself.
Well, I'm not buying a house anytime soon.
So my daughter got to use the chainsaw and she was stoked. It was great.
That's Texas beautiful. Chainsaw.
It was she was like, oh my God. She was loving it. But yeah, that was board chainsaw. Dug a hole, filled it with water. That it.
Cute.
Alex.
Bro.
What are you doing?
Bro.
I've been in New Zealand.
It's you, bro.
Off for a couple of weeks, actually. I don't know if any of you have been there. Have you been there?
Yeah.
No.
The scenery is fucking insane.
It's good, isn't it?
It's so good.
Some of those photos you sent in the chat look like old postcards.
Windows 95 desktop.
Get rid of my ugly. I did heaps of shit. I walked like 55 Ks in like the 5 days I was in Queenstown. Mountain biking, cross country, downhilling, zip lining, lugeing, whitewater rafting, jet boating, quad biking, lake cruising, cocktail bars, the works.
Wow.
<That's fucking> important.
I was only there for 5 days.
Oh my God.
And a bit of work.
Yeah, and a bit of work. So got on the bike in the last couple of days and that just shocked my feet so bad, going from sneakers that were super comfortable to carbon soles. And back to reality tomorrow for first day back at work. Yay.
Fun with that.
One-on-one with your boss.
One-on-one with the boss, yeah. We're going full-time cycling. Wang.
Pretty big week, pretty busy week. So stop playing footsies.
Kept
23 hours on the bike this week.
What? 23 hours.
Yeah. Jesus.
That's a standard week. So 824K. Monday night, we are going to try and start a tradition, Strava Warriors.
Can it be fortnightly Strava Warriors?
You can just join.
Yeah, okay, cool. I didn't
know
if it was okay to,
tag along. We've done a bit of a group ride Monday night up Norton's and then down across the freeway. Then we're going to go to the Arca Bar, but it looks like it's shut at the moment or having renos. So we went to the...
Or maybe the rest of the crew wasn't old enough to go there.
The park side. We went to the park side and smashed about... 3 beers in 20 minutes.
Ooh.
And I was fucking sideways riding home. I turned out of the car park and I went the wrong way.
On your TT bike?
Yeah, on my TT bike. Turned out of the car park and kept going down Green Hill Road towards Anzac Highway. Fuck, I live this way. Turned around. So that was good. So we're going to make that a tradition.
Would have been like a leisurely pace too, hey?
Me, Garden of Eden, and Widira. So it was just an easy ride.
Okay. Oh, classic 40 kilometres.
The drunk commute was still on Strava, though.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Tuesday, don't know, would have ridden my bike sometime throughout the day. Wednesday, had a little bit of an interesting night on Wednesday.
Wednesday?
Just did a nice hour and a half after work. Thursday, yeah, work. Friday, she was warm on Friday, but I got out after work. So it was
hot. I was out with the Woomba in Friday morning.
Oh, you did too? Oh, yeah, that's
right. Stinking hot.
Yeah. You and I went beach surfing. It's good.
On Friday? Yeah.
Thursday.
It sort of cooled out. It was only 36 when I went out on Friday night, so it wasn't too bad. So yesterday, Super Series, fuck, that was a hard race. We'll talk about that a little bit later. And then today, myself and Alex did the Contour ride, which was probably harder than I wanted to go
today. It was way harder than I wanted to ride. So I rocked up with about 3 seconds to spare.
Didn't you get a brew?
No,
I didn't get a brew.
No,
not till the end. So yeah, that's my week.
Hello.
Frankie, that's you.
Yes, it's me. Yeah. So, I'm feeling better. It's great.
Yeah. Still on the prolapse?
Yes, so much. No, do you know what's actually been helping? Learning about space has been fucking amazing.
Right, the space in
your
head?
Because it's just like, wow, I'm so small and insignificant, which might not work for some people, but it's just like, wow, all my problems mean shit.
Can we go back a couple of years?
Can we go back like a year at least?
Tell me you didn't pay someone $300 for an hour to tell you that.
That's the thing, right? It doesn't matter what the fuck anyone else says. Like, people can say to you, oh, like this, do that, do that. Like, when you are feeling... Fuck you. When you are feeling so shit, like, it's all, it has to be, like, self-directed. So, anyway, I've been watching a lot of, like, space videos with Brian Cox. No, Brian Cox. You know who Brian Cox is, right?
Like Wonders of the Solar System.
Yeah, that one. He's, like, a world-renowned fucking physicist.
He's, like, the David Attenborough of the solar system.
Actual space.
Yeah, space.
Not just, like, your mental space.
No. I'm talking about stars and shit.
I thought we were actually going somewhere with this.
No, I'm talking about, like, the universe. I've been learning about...
Which one did you watch? Return of the Jedi? Or like which one?
No, Brian Cox videos. Yeah. You fuck.
What do you think of Uranus?
Are they on RedTube?
I love it.
I've seen some Brian Cox videos.
Sorry, go.
No, and so anyway, as I was watching like these videos, he was talking about how like, you know, what does it mean to live like a finite and fragile life in like an infinite and eternal universe? And all these like kind of thought-provoking questions, but then also talking about, you know, what are you talking about? Learning about gravity and space time and how like there's trillions and billions of stars in the universe and I don't know,
Can I just interrupt you for a second?
What?
Guest. Do you want a full time job on the podcast?
Look, I'm in this boat as well because also I do watch the occasional Brian Cox documentary.
It's like one of those things though. You just keep watching it and you get addicted. It is a guilty pleasure and because I've deleted all my social media, it's just like, well, I need someone to scroll in, so it's Brian Cox.
You just dub yourself in, and this is what I just said before, offline. Like, it doesn't matter. It's the same thing. It's the same energy into something where you're putting it. But I will shush now.
Okay.
But good work for realizing
Thank you.
Just a needle in a haystack.
But you know, but he was saying some things relating to like the universe, which I was like trying to take into my life. So you've watched the videos, right? And
you're bringing her into your little.
And he was just talking about the concept of how, in order, like the universe is always expanding, and because it expands, it's creating disorder. So the universe is continuously just becoming more and more disorganized. And he was talking about in order to create order. So he used an example of. Like, I'm going on a tangent, but I'm going with it.
Yeah, this is normal.
We'll come back to the podcast in a minute.
He was using an example. It'll tie up in a little bow in a second. You'll understand why I'm going down this
pathway. You're getting back.
I'm going.
Are you certainly back?
And he was using the example of a fridge, right? A fridge, when you open a fridge, it's cold, right? But and that's order.
What?
But then, and the reason... Is it? Shut up! No. So... And he was just, he was saying, in order to create the coldness, you are actually, you're expelling all this heat, which is like disorder and chaos in order to create the order on the inside. So in my mind, I'm like, you know what? I'm feeling all like chaotic cold? And disorganized or whatever because I'm going to create my own fucking order in the future. Yeah, so I'm a fridge.
All right. Wow.
Have you done anything else this week?
It sounds like you've literally. There's been a couple of things. You watched a doco, you smoked weed, and something else. I don't know.
Frankie's job is to turn the light on.
She turns the light on in the fridge.
no.
Did you do any cycling this week?
I did. I actually did quite a lot over the last 2 weeks. And actually, I have a question for you guys. So this was the last crit at the NCC Tuesday night. So
yeah,
I
you rode well then.
Yeah, you
I did.
Actually.
I wrote, I've been doing really, really well. I just need to get depressed more often, I think, because it's making me like perform better.
Life is an ebb and flow. You're not going to be good all the time.
Anyway, so I've been riding really, really well. And I think there was about 20 riders in the E-grade crit.
Yeah,
there was three
about.
Women and the rest were dudes. Anyway, I ended up coming third, which I was really, really proud of. I was super happy. And when it got to the podium, I wasn't allowed to stand on the podium because of a gender rule.
Because
what was the rule?
The rule was that there is it's the men's
woman.
Podium and then there's a women's
Did
podium.
Did you tell them you present as a fridge?
That's
What did you come in the race, though?
I came third overall.
Should have been on the podium.
Should have been on the podium. I don't give a fuck about gender. Yeah,
no. I wasn't allowed to stand on the podium, and
what?
That made me
That's got to change.
No, we'll send them a letter.
So I was just going to ask, what do you think about that?
No, that's not right.
Well, did you not gauge from that reaction?
What do you think?
I reckon if it's an overall and you're in together, then overall, podium's a podium.
Because, you know, I mean, for me,
you should have got third on the podium and then first female.
Acknowledged as the first woman and first free.
So you were acknowledged as the first woman.
I was, but I wasn't acknowledged as
the... You would be the Fisher and the Paykel.
I feel like the guy who came...
Well done, Dad. That's good.
The guy who came fourth probably was like...
Was not there.
Upset that...
Yeah.
No, yeah.
I'm saying about Norwood being good because I really like the idea of a Tuesday night where it doesn't matter what it's genderless. It's just grades.
Yeah, I like that it's mixed.
It is what it is. If you're good enough to be in that grade, you race. Mm. But I fucking hate that.
Yeah, that's not on.
Yeah, and
do better.
I have lost a bit of that,
but do better.
I have lost a bit of motivation now because I remember being so excited once I finished the race. I know, like, it's just an E-grade podium.
Just get up
there. But I felt like it was a massive achievement because I had bet, like, guys, which, roles reverse, it's probably not as much of a, you know, like an achievement.
I got pissed. They have beat me in a B-grade race.
You know, so, gender policy, I think, might need to be reviewed. Because I think it was probably made in the mind frame where they probably didn't think that you would have, like, a woman coming third in the mixed race.
No, I think you're looking to it too
probably.
Deeply.
Yeah. But anyway, I don't want to make a scene.
Create that order in your brain. You came third.
Okay.
That's a kudos.
So when the crits start again after the V8's gone, you're up into D grade?
Yes.
Maybe.
Yes. No, not maybe.
No,
yes,
they do really scare me, though, in D grade. Because, I don't know.
They're not that much faster.
Yes. Have you seen them?
Yeah, mate. I'm on my corner every week, giving back.
He's the Marshall Matters.
Mate. He's Marshall Matters now.
The crits wouldn't happen without me on the marshall on the corner.
You know what? Actually, he's in words of encouragement. Actually, on Tuesday, you were like, go Cashy.
We were doing a video.
It was funny. Actually.
Yeah. So I think that might have to... I didn't want to cause a scene on the day because I don't know. I just said, I'm sorry. But doesn't mean shit. If they were rolling salami wrong, then yes, I would.
Olga would have been on their doorstep the next morning.
Yeah, with her horse's head.
So anyway, that's that. Would love to know people's feedback on that. But also, I held, this is probably not very impressive for you, but I held 715 watts for 5 seconds and I'm very proud.
Fuck yeah.
Sprinter.
So
good work.
I've got 5 more seconds until someone has to donate.
Maybe not.
That might not happen. I'll donate if you do it.
Okay.
Anyway.
So that's me, man. Who's
and yesterday,
next?
What about yesterday?
What did I do yesterday? Oh, Super Series.
We raced yesterday.
Yeah, no, we're going to go into that later.
Yeah.
Cool.
Microwavably unsafe.
Your turn.
Yes.
How can you follow that?
Yeah.
Well, I was feeling a bit like a bit of a fridge going up Norton myself this week. I've just got back on the bike after... Yeah, a bit of time over in Europe and then a little bit of an off season. So this is my second week back training and also back in Adelaide after coming back from Europe.
Best place to be.
Is that your first time over?
Yeah, it's been my first season fully overseas.
Oh my God.
I've been gone since January, so it's been a long time over there. So back into the Adelaide Hills, back just doing some base kilometers. But then, you know, when you've been away from somewhere for a long time and you come back and there's just all these like people to catch up with and things to do and that sort of stuff. So it's just been a hectic week of running around, catching up, but pretty nice in its own way too.
How long are you here for?
I'm actually here till the middle of December. I go back to Spain for a little training camp there in December.
It's not paella.
Adios.
¿Por qué no los dos?
Stop.
I have to take some notes. And then back in Adelaide, hopefully, for Christmas time. And
Shit. So you go back over for mid-December for camp and then come back for Christmas?
For Krusties.
Well, I really want to do that this year.
Yes.
We'll see
I want to do it every year, but I've not let – my coach hasn't let me yet. So we're going to try and –
Don't tell them.
just
tell them you're not doing
Krusties. No, the activity to like just from
– First 100K.
Yeah, the first 100K just –
Because we do 300 Ks now, not 200.
300?
Yes.
That's – okay, that's a lot.
You're doing, sad, like, you're not uploading that.
No.
Yeah, you'd be able to do Krusties. The only hard bit is when you get to high mass cheers and it's actual tears.
But everyone pushes you up there.
Yeah, it's fine.
No. No.
The first 100K is not bad.
It's all downhill, apart from the
freeway.
What
about the next 200?
Exactly. Yeah,
the last 100 is the worst.
The next 100, the last 100 is quite fun.
It wasn't last year.
But yeah, what else have you been doing this week? Obviously catching up, trying to catch up with people.
Yeah, yeah. And also doing a little bit of study. I'm actually still at university. I'm on my sixth year.
Oh my God.
How many more
That's
years to go?
That's disgusting. Good question.
Depends.
Yeah, it depends. Yeah, taking my time indeed. So got my last subject due tomorrow and...
Hang on, you've got an exam tomorrow?
Big paper, but yeah, I know, and I'm just at the point now with university where I'm just a little bit sick of it, so...
Well, 6 years, man, that's a long time.
6 years is a lot. It's a five-year degree, though.
Yeah.
Are you doing a double or something?
I'm doing a double.
Yeah.
What's a double?
Stupid. Like two degrees, yeah.
Do you know what? Did you get sold the lie to at high school?
Yes.
Yeah.
And as a firstborn child, I feel like... The parents don't know to like advise you any better, so they're like, good idea.
I just said no, went fuck this, and then moved out of home, didn't go to uni until I was like 30.
I should have done
a trade. Like, yeah, at school they were like, double degree's better, opens more doors. No, it fucking doesn't. What a
just gives you more hex, right?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Like it's indexed at 7%.
One of my staff was just finished off paying his hex debt. He's a qualified electrician.
Oh my God.
Did nothing with it.
Ridiculous. Anyway.
Yes, my studies are not really helping my cycling at the moment, but we're getting through.
Nice. All right.
All right. Well, before we get on to the questions with our guests, shall we recap on Super Series from yesterday? Frankie?
Yes.
You guys had some cornering sessions with Stacey on Monday?
We did.
So you got any tips and tricks?
We did
the netball courts.
The netball courts, but then we got kicked off the netball courts, and then we went down the Adelaide Showgrounds.
So how was it?
Well, I basically learned that I have to channel inner Shakira. I have to use my hips to turn.
The hips don't lie.
And, where that was going.
Yeah. But I think that maybe that worked because I did well yesterday. But it was very. I don't know. I felt like I was going to fall off even more because you know approach
you're committing
corner,
to a corner.
You break. Heading into the corner, mm-hmm. and then you let go of the brakes, and then you just flow through the turn, is what mm-hmm. we were told.
You do your braking before the corner. Yes.
Before the corner. Yes.
Most of the time.
Yeah, and then you use your hips to like move into the corner, apparently.
Yeah.
And you mm-hmm. go wide, and then you follow your line. So if you are...
The apex.
You know, what?
The apex.
What's that? What I'm describing.
Yeah, what you're describing.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
So if you're in two abreast... The person on the inside has to have a smaller
that's
radius.
What I didn't say in my week getting pulled over by the cops. I'll tell that story in a minute.
Actually, no. Right now, go on. What happened?
Last weekend was it? Yeah, last weekend riding down Grange Road. Me,
your mate Brad.
Yeah, Brad. Yeah, Constable Brad. myself, Callum, and Sturby riding down Grange Road.
Two abreast.
Yes.
Yeah.
Two abreast. Me in the bike lane, Callum like just on the bike lane,
he's a big human, so it's hard
because it's not wide enough for two of
us.
And then standing behind us, next minute, sirens, lights going. I was like, "Fuck that!"
Oh, did it make you like to chop? By the way,
you didn't stop.
No, I didn't stop. Right, and then he kept doing it, and I was like. And they're like, yeah, I think he's pulling us. I was like, no, fuck him. Let's go.
Loudspeaker, Castle Wang for you, boy.
He's right up alongside us. He's going, pull over. And I was like, oh, maybe it is for us. Pulled over around the corner. He goes, yeah, just want to have a little chat about a road rule. Not many guys know about it. But when you're riding two abreast, you either both have to be in the bike lane or both out of the bike lane. And I was like,
wow, really?
And I was like, nah, man. I was like, no, that does not make sense, mate. He goes, nah, true. Not many people know about it. And I was like,
reals.
Yeah, not many people know about it because it's not correct.
Oh, my God, you want to fight someone.
And then he's like, no, no. So I'll say, okay, so what you're saying is that if we both can't fit in the bike lane, we can both ride out of the bike lane in the traffic. And he's like, yeah. And I was like,
what was the term he used? Command the lane.
Command the lane. And I was like, dude, Captain. Do you want me to get fucking bashed or killed by a car?
Yeah.
I was like, isn't the law to ride as practically as close to the left-hand side as possible?
Yeah.
He's like, no, command the lane. I was like, righto, mate. Whatever you say, you're right. Anyway, he goes, yeah, it's normally a $400 fine, rah, rah, but we'll just give you a warning. I was like, okay. So he goes, you got any ID? And I was like, yeah, all of us had ID except for Callum, who knew his license number off by heart.
Yeah. And just, I know mine. So,
CP3352, yeah.
Well, we
isn't that a Star Wars character?
No, it's which one, BB-8 or R2-D2?
C-3PO? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry, continue.
Anyway, so then about an hour later, we're riding up Green Hill to the bottom of Norton's and Callum's phone rings. And pulls over and he answers it and it's the cop.
Stop.
Right? And he's like, oh, hi, Callum. Callum, this is Constable Brad. I just wanted to let you know that, I got that rule wrong. What you were doing wasn't actually wrong. You were doing nothing wrong. And I was like, no fucking shit.
Wow.
Yeah. And then he just kept texting Callum, like, so now Callum's and Brad are now dating.
Did you just want his number, maybe?
Yeah. Maybe. It was a long way to go to get his number.
Bloke. Makes
so
sense.
What we were doing was perfectly legal after all of that. But we all got a caution in the post as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Caution, you're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Did you snort?
No.
Yeah, it was a little cheeky
a little
one.
Snort there.
That wasn't
anyway,
the story.
Back
thanks,
to your...
Brad.
Anyway, you were cornering.
So anyway,
cornering.
Two abreast. The person in the middle.
Hips. Did you have your... when you were
why
cornering...
Are you doing that? Two abreast.
No, I didn't mean... I didn't actually mean that. I meant
we
the
we call
hips.
Them the Noonga Noongas, but yes.
The boob cannons.
Yes. I have to show you this
no,
after.
No, you don't.
Show me what? I'll do it right now.
No.
I'll do it right now. So this is in year 11. Sorry, sidetrack. I was learning about like laws of motion and shit, and you would know like with every action there's an equal and opposite reaction. Mm-hmm. So then I went to the physics teacher. Oh, so does that mean if I was to put like a pen in my boobs, it would bounce off? And then the
teacher
physics teacher was kind of looking at me, just like thinking about it. She's like, yeah, I think so. So then I grabbed a pen. Just bounce it off. Bounce it off.
One,
and as you've got older, it's just got less and less.
Yes. Anyway. Sorry.
No, what I meant was, are you taking your butt off the seat when you're cornering?
What? No.
Really?
I didn't realise that you're supposed to do that. Is that to change your centre of gravity?
Yes.
Yes.
Look at that. Yeah.
Helps
you know,
your bike
as simple as
you a little
doing
bit.
That with your elbows, you'll feel the bike tip in more.
Wait.
Did you hit your pedals at all?
No, I was very conscious about
anyone,
that because last year
yes,
someone...
In our race.
Oh, mate,
yes.
Our race, every corner they were hitting.
Oh, B grades are worse for the older.
End corner.
Yeah. Well, no, we did have a crash in our race.
Yeah, so did we, first corner.
Yeah, and that's someone's broke their collarbone.
Oh, yeah, that was Carly Bryant.
No, she didn't break anything. This was in a men's race.
Did.
No, I've messaged her. Ah. Her wrist is fine. She hasn't. She hasn't
had a sling on.
Yeah, because they thought that she did, but she had an X-ray. Anyway,
okay.
So in our race, everything that we learned, I didn't really follow. Because
I'm running with it.
It is hard to do under pressure, but also like I'm everyone in you know Cat 2 women's they're a lot lighter than what I am, I think, and so me going at speed, and then. Stop braking, I just naturally move up quicker than everybody ahead of me. So I had to brake going into the corner a little bit more than I thought. But then I just thought...
Just a good old dive bomb, that sounds like.
We've got a bit of a story about that in a minute.
What, really?
I heard the story.
And
I was just saying being safe.
Do that
safe.
One more time.
I forgot my train of thought. Yeah, so I ended up just naturally wanting to sit further up in the bunch because I wanted to avoid, you know, braking starting,
perfect.
Which apparently
works for you.
It did work
especially
for me
on that course.
Yeah, exactly.
Probably
so
in your race, if you're not in the top five wheels,
yeah, you're screwed.
You're not in any of those grades.
Any of the races, you've got to be in top 10.
Mm. So yeah, I was quite nervous going into it, but then obviously stayed closer up at the front. There was a crash that happened, I think, 10 minutes in, which broke up the bunch, and I was at the front quite a lot. actually. There was one point. I was building a
don't encourage her to wave.
If you're on the front though, close to the front.
But also, I thought it was going to be a psychological thing. If everyone behind me can see me like waving like I'm
happy,
they think you're too.
Yeah, they think I'm fine. But I wasn't fine.
You weren't fine. You went backwards afterwards.
I did.
But then you went forwards again.
Yes, I did. It's all anyway. I did it just to piss him off.
And it worked.
Yeah, I was at the front and bridge a gap, and I was just waving at the crowd like I was a fucking wanker. Anyway,
turn 8 have got a photo of me yelling over the yelling over the fence at you.
I attacked quite a few times. I didn't let anyone get away, so I was doing quite a bit of work. So I ended up finishing 4th, which I was very happy with, because last year doing the exact same race I got dropped, so I thought it was a very big improvement. So yeah, very happy with how it went. And I was fine in the corners, so
yeah. Staying at the front makes such a big difference in those tight circuits.
It does. 100%.
Saves so much energy,
especially that top circuit, because you're already starting to come down the hill when everyone else is still coming around
exactly
the corner.
And because I'm more accustomed, well, not accustomed, but inclined to be more of a sprinter, so being close to the front, I was able to like facilitate the really
some big fucking words.
What?
Custom facilitate.
You know, facilitate the fridge. Like a big, you know, the rubber band.
Yeah, like when there's a you can anticipate and just jump on it.
And I would
away.
Be jumping on, yeah. And I would okay. I was making people tired, I think, which then dropped more people. And so we only ended up.
Your arm was tired as well.
Yeah, thank you. We only ended up with a small bunch of us. I think it was only what 6 or 7. In the
in
final
the main
sprinter,
bunch? Yeah, probably about that.
Yeah.
I know.
So I feel like I'm learning to read the race a little bit more. I really do like that circuit. So yeah, I'm very, and I feel a lot. I feel fitter. I feel great. So
I thought you
riding more,
eating better, sleeping better.
Yeah, well, I slept for 10 hours tonight. Like last yesterday.
Really? That's a big.
That's a week for Alex.
Yeah, I was like, that's your weekly sleep.
It's like I spent a whole week there one night.
Wow. But yeah, so that was me.
The rest of the girls. I think you had like 4 in the top 10.
Yeah, we got 4 in the top 10. Second, third, fourth, sixth,
and ninth,
eighth,
maybe not.
Yeah, something like that.
So all in the points.
So we did well. Yeah,
amazing.
Very proud.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. All right. Boys.
How did we go? We'll start from the back to the front. The Cashin got dropped eventually.
We had a crash on the first corner.
What caused that?
I hear the fence.
Will.
We got a good talk.
Will
Holmes.
We just hear this. And he's like laying down, everyone goes past.
And
anyway.
The commissaires are like, okay, take it easy on the first lap. We've had a crash in every grade. We don't want any crashes.
Neck minute.
First corner, Will on the ground. We're like,
still finishes
hell,
top
Will.
10.
Yeah, he's still
holy shit.
Top 10, yeah.
He can get one.
How many are in men's A grade?
How many were left?
How many start altogether?
40, maybe?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. 40, it was because it was a pretty tight circuit. I had a look at it.
Have you not raced that one before?
No, for some reason. I think I stopped doing Super Series right when they introduced it.
Yeah,
this looks so fun.
Second year? Is it third year?
They used to do it back in like the 80s or 90s.
Yeah, back in the day they did.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think it was lap 2. We've obviously picked up the speed now, and we're coming down into the T corner on East Terrace. And I hear this bit of a commotion behind me, and I hear, "Mate, if I come down, I'm a fucking headbutt you." That's catchy.
To who?
To some mum.
Before, so there was Butterfield's rider, young Butterfield's rider. I think because he's. You know, he's racing the first time he's racing Elite Super Series. He's, you know, getting a bit of a, you know.
Big dick.
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, there was a Nantambu rider next to him and they were like hip and shouldering each other like on the first lap.
Wow.
And I was just, that's where, I'm like, mate, if I come down because of you, I'm fucking headbutt you.
That's kind of polite, actually. You turn pissing myself
And he just kind of went.
But yeah. No, it was literally prime example. Like I was at the back, maybe 5 or 6 people from the back, and there was no chance of me ever seeing the front of the race ever.
Is that
without
just
being
because
an
of position?
Asshole and dive bombing for spots? I was never getting up.
You
got to
do what you got to do.
Yeah.
Sometimes
I tried a couple of times and I was like, nah,
not
you
today.
Can't make our space because we're doing 60k
down.
It's too narrow, honestly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's either you start, like, you have to start further up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
was there any
neutral? They blew the whistle and we had to...
So it's like you've got to hold on the side of...
They blew the whistle to line up, and everyone sprinted for the front line, and we were like three rows back.
I was still at the end of that. I was still in Adelaide when they did that.
Yeah,
yeah, and so I started at the back. Yeah, I was like, "Fuck,
oh god!" But no, it was those Belgian races where you're lining up like 45 minutes before the race even begins.
Really?
Some of the girls are there like in the rain and snow, 45 minutes early, like on the line,
just to get on the front.
If you're not on the front line, you're fucked.
Yeah.
Wow.
So. I think Wang ended up doing 75 laps of that circuit total with warm-ups.
Fuck.
Yeah, but the ons were out of the corners were 1,000 watts plus every time.
Oh,
so
my God.
So you just pitch your under-overs 50 times to get on the back of the bunch and get ready.
I got to a good spot, and then a certain rider that will remain anonymous.
Anonymous.
Like, he'd take the corner, dive bomb, but then let the wheel go in front of him, and he did it 4 times in a row, and my head tilted. No, it wasn't you. And I was just like, I'm going to fucking... I was peaking, and then I was like, you know...
So then we had... 4 Keystone riders, 4 Nantambu, a couple others, all in like a bunch behind the main bunch. And eventually we got pulled off.
Yeah. We were going to rough for a while. Actually, it was quite good.
And the Wang, the real Shimoy.
Yep.
How'd you go? The lip was out.
The lip was fucking down.
So when the Wang, when he's in the box, the lip like transcends.
So they changed, they extended
our race.
My lips
also transcend.
They do, actually. The laws of gravity.
Not for a little while.
To a state of disorder.
Because they extend, our race was longer as well. They changed it to 60.
So
enough. Yeah, 65 minutes was our race in the end, including 2. So it was a long race. But like I said before, you had to be in the top 10 wheels all day.
It was wild.
To have a chance. So I made front group. We had Nick up the road in a 2-man break with...
Tyler from ARA.
ARA, young kid, only 18-year-old. So them two, we were up the road. I was just sitting on the front of the break of the second bunch.
Yeah,
let the break go. I finished 9th. Nick finished 2nd.
Good work.
Yeah, hard race.
We're 2 and top 3 GC now.
Yeah, Nick.
I just remembered. You know, during my race, the commentators kept referring to me as vegan greens and amphetamines. As I was coming up the front, they would just be like, "Oh, and here's Gemma. Yes, there's vegan greens at the front," and I was like, "That's not me." Anyway, sorry. Continue.
Yeah, it's a tough race, but we got a reasonable result, and now we're 2nd and 3rd in GC with 1 round to go.
Yeah,
so.
Very good.
Unley. I do like Unley.
Me too.
Unley next week.
That's a good circuit. Yeah. I have raced there. Yeah.
Great.
It's nice.
Next Sunday, final round.
All right.
Again,
Alex.
Nice to be in the front of that race too.
Mm.
What?
How? Jesus. Hello, Hulk. Are you going to tell us your story?
What story?
You said that I've got a thing to share with everyone.
A dive bomb.
No, that was me. That was me giving...
okay.
I'm just looking out for... Oh, and then the same rider, the Nantambu rider, hit his pedal on the same corner a while later, like endoed, and then like somehow held it and then kept going.
Endoed meanings like the reverse
off the ground. Like it was impressive how he did
Garden
it. He
of, like, Garden of Eden hit the feet of the barriers up the back straight.
Mm.
Doing like 50k an That's hour, and I was on his wheel, and I was like, "Fucking hell, get me out of here!"
I like the noise the handlebars make when you get through or 4.
Because of the crosswinds, you're on the fence both sides. Mm. So on the left hand fence on the way up, and on the right hand on the way down. Hello,
fuck one job.
All right.
So yes, well, getting on to our guest. And that's her beeping in the background there. So we'd like to welcome our guest. Some of our listeners may already know who she is. However, if you haven't, here's some of her amazing rides she's put in. And she actually forgot a couple that I remembered, so we'll add those in. So Olympic Games 2021, 5th and TP. 2022 Commie Games, gold and silver in the IP and the TP. World Track Champs in 2020 and 2022 and 2023.
Jesus.
She's just sitting here flexing.
fifth in the World Champs TP and IP this year. And it was only a pretty close margin off of bronze at the Worlds this year, wasn't it?
It was upsettingly close, like 0.07.
Yeah. So pretty close between bronze and fifth. Current Australian record holder for the women's individual pursuit, the women's team pursuit. 2021 Australian Women's Track Cyclist of the Year and some national initiated titles in there as well.
You can breathe now.
Yes. She also did forget her Warnie win 2 years ago, was it?
Yeah, 2 years ago now.
That was the inaugural one, was it?
Yep, the first women's one of the full women's length. Only.
It's epic.
Cool.
Yep, that was, and then also stage winner in TDU or Santos Festival of Cycling as it was then. Mm-hmm. Off the bike, as she was just telling us, she's been at uni too long, studying a double degree in law and science at Uni of Adelaide. All Academy Awards were a few years ago now, though. And then road riding for DSM. No World Tour results yet, but I'm sure they are well on the way.
Mm. Amazing.
Do you know, we met back in 2020, I have a story for you. You won't even remember this, but it stayed with me for this whole time.
Well, here we
go. It was my... No, it's not even that bad. It's actually very wholesome. I'm trying to just show Maeve's character on a public platform. So this was my first ever crit, and it was 2020. It was a winter crit. And I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. And I remember coming up.
That hasn't changed.
Thank you. And they handed me like these numbers. And I was like, what the fuck am I supposed to do with these? And you came over to me and you introduced yourself. And you were like, hi, I'm Maeve. I was like, oh, hello, I'm Frankie. And then you helped me pin on my numbers.
Oh, I love those winter crits.
Yeah. And I was
she
like,
doesn't
oh.
remember it.
No, I don't expect you to. But then you like said, oh, your map kit's really nice. And I was like, oh, thank you. And then I kept coming back. So that's just
nice.
What I remember.
Wow.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Anyway.
So I ended up doing some stalking on your social media.
Oh, so you are on social media.
Not just LinkedIn.
No. This is through the podcast page.
Right.
And I saw
on the socials.
Shut up. And I saw that you had one big black eye.
Oh yeah.
So I'm assuming that happened from a crash.
Yeah. So
what happened?
Not too long ago, actually, last race that I did of the season. I mean, we were just discussing how important it is to be at the front of the race, and we were actually doing that quite well. So my job in the race was, and this is pretty common in big World Tour races, is you sacrifice one or two riders to just do positioning for the whole race.
Got a question about
race.
That later.
Yeah, so I had been on the front for quite a while at this point. Kind of came through some corners. I think we were kind of one or two rows back at this point, so still pretty close up the front if you're thinking there's 150 girls. But yeah, it was just a touch of wheel at the front. Ooh. And straight down, and yeah, I did some really bad damage for like quite a small crash, I would say.
Like small it crash. It doesn't look like a small crash. Have you seen the photos?
Possibly.
It wasn't super high speed. It wasn't like hitting a pole or anything crazy. It was just...
Did you like flip over the top or something?
Yeah, and I just went straight forward and straight on the face and yeah, broke my arm and broke ribs and all sorts of things. So
is that the scar?
Yeah, right there.
So what injury did you sustain?
Broke my radius, dislocated the ulna in two spots, and then ribs broken, concussion, and then the face just looked terrible for a few weeks there.
And you've got a bit of a history.
Yeah, just like fully. And yeah, so it wasn't the end of the season that I wanted, absolutely not. And tried to come back from it to kind of get to race the last races of the season, but it was such a big injury that it took like 4 weeks at least for the bones just to heal. So yeah.
Are you in any pain or were you in a lot of pain?
At the time, it hurt, yeah.
Yeah. You've got a bit of a history with concussion as well?
Yeah, I had quite a bad one in 2022 at the start of the season. Yeah, yeah. In a track race. And I guess I just didn't really take it that seriously at the time. I had the crash and it was in the Madison National Championships and I just wanted to win the race so badly. Like I crashed, I rolled over, my bike was broken, like it was gone. So grabbed one of the boys' bikes, got back up there, finished the race, and then like kind of did the media after, did the flight home, like stayed, like all these things, and just like without really thinking, I've hit my head. And after that, like I thought I was all right for a few weeks after. I just kind of took the concussion protocol, did like a week easy or something, and then it wasn't until a month or two later that I went in my first race back and just had this like complete dissociation event in a points race, like all the lights and the speed and people coming around me. I felt like I didn't know where I was, how fast I was going, what.
Jesus.
And it was super scary. And for about a month after that, I couldn't do things like study. Like I couldn't read without getting headaches. Mm. I couldn't train. So that's kind of the point where...
Maybe I had a concussion when I was born.
That would explain a lot of things there, Owen.
So, yeah, that's when I started really taking the concussion stuff seriously. So for anyone listening, yeah, if you do hit your head, don't get back on the bike. Don't be a hero.
Do they have any
protocols?
Protocols or tests at all?
Yeah, it's kind of still in the works. Like there are kind of some tests where they ask you, do you know where you are? Mm. Like what's happened? Those sorts of things. Questions. Yeah, yeah.
I would fail them anyway. But
some of them are actually hard. Like you're sitting there like, I don't think I could get this on a good day. Like you're asking me to repeat these numbers backwards. But yeah, and they have actually shown that young women are more susceptible to the like longer term concussion stuff as well. So
yeah, like memory would be a big one, yeah. Right? Have you found that your memory's been impacted, short and long?
The one thing I found was...
Can't remember.
Not sure.
What is that? Hi, I'm Tom.
Have you seen my baseball? No, sorry.
No, the one thing I found was I was still studying at the time and oof. I thought I was recovered. So I wrote an essay, handed it up to my professor. And a few months later, after I'd kind of been diagnosed with the long concussion stuff, I got this essay back. And
you're like, what did you write in crayons?
Just, yeah, just rambling. I had just missed
your name
joining it.
Missed joining
it. Absolutely, like missed like basic words in my sentences.
Like Tarzan style, like bread now.
No, literally, like it was the worst written essay I've ever seen in my life.
Wow.
So those sorts of things, you don't really realize how bad it is until you look at it in
look
hindsight.
Back on it.
Yeah, like, wow, I was stupid for quite a few months there.
Oh, you poor thing.
So, yeah, that kind of had a few implications in the 2022 season, like on the track side. I couldn't race races I wanted to race.
Mm.
But, yeah, now it just there's no ongoing effects now, but it just means I take things a bit more seriously.
Yeah. Well, I guess it, like you need to, like I know cycling is a very resilient sport where you're like going up against, you know, fatigue, you're going up against all these different things. And, you know, I guess that would also take into consideration like the fact that you would have to be resilient in crashes as well, like trying to get the right mindset to come back. So can you talk us through like how do you maintain your resilience, you know, when you need to recover from a crash or the setbacks that you have?
Yeah, and there is always a couple in a cycling career, like whether you're an amateur rider or in the elite, like you're always going to have crashes, but then you're also just going to have bad races, bad training days, sometimes when you just don't really feel like getting on the bike. And I think it's just the habit that keeps you going back and getting back on.
Well, I know like get comfortable being uncomfortable is like your little mantra.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. Like are you using particular like mental strategies in this process or?
Sorry, just behind us.
Sorry, Rambo Rose is clearly watching something on YouTube, some sort of comedic thing.
Yeah, look, I love that saying because I think it kind of applies to so many things. I also apply that off the bike in kind of like how I want to approach my cycling, like the situations that I put myself in my cycling, like the kind of races I enter and the kind of training sessions I want to do and those things. But yeah, I think it's about being comfortable, not being in your comfort zone, like doing those efforts that are probably just a little bit too hard for you to do, but you want to just push through.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, some days you actually just need to take it easy and chill out and not go past your comfort zone. But I think the majority of the time, or at least a couple times a week, it's super nice in your cycling just to, yeah, absolutely push yourself to your max level, to your limit, and do things like, even if it's not physically, but like what you're saying with the cornering sessions and stuff like that, like if you're feeling like, oh, I'm not very good at this or I don't like this, then you're probably in the right direction.
Mm.
If you're comfortable, you're not going forward as such.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I like
correct.
Yeah. It's life, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I have a bit of a like a monstrosity of a question that I haven't included in the run sheet. I've been thinking about this for a little bit. I was trying to word it correctly, but just give me 2 minutes. minutes to set the stage. All right.
So we need some music. So
just put the elevator
Good Guys
music.
Or Harvey Norman.
Okay. So
from section.
From the perspective of someone who wouldn't know cycling very well, which you know, I'm not saying I don't, but I'm talking about let's say old mate Joe.
You're on the
Johnny
cycling
Long
podcast.
Legs.
Yeah, you know. If you don't know cycling very well, it would seem that there's always just like one winner. And you know, even if it's part of a team, there's always like one person that gets to have all the glory. Mm-hmm. But you know, as we're more involved in the sport like us, and you know, you all know that there's a lot of sacrifices that people make for their own teammates in order to achieve results, which is something that you mentioned previously. So you know, like for example, you know that you can save 20-40% of your energy expenditure just from sitting behind someone's wheel for the entire race, which is what I think you said you did for the last few races
all season.
Exactly. You know, and you're doing all the
Part
work
of earning your stripes.
Right? But then someone might be sitting behind you, so you can imagine that there might be some politics involved when you know old mate Karen is out there sacrificing herself for each race.
I am Karen.
One of her teammates, like day in, day out, and then you know nobody ends up helping her in return, or young mate Mary, who is disregarding everyone else.
Where did you get these names from?
I just made them up. Expecting like everyone young to help Mary. Her all the Go time on, and just taking all the wins without showing like the same courtesy. So I'm assuming there's like a potential for people to feel like they're being taken advantage of, or the relationships that people develop with other teammates become strained because someone might be taking, you know, their own personal gain without helping others. And I just think it could be potentially problematic, especially in elite cycling, because if you're always sacrificing yourself for others, you're not winning. And so I'm assuming there's a real potential for it to affect the successful outcomes of
Holy
someone's
shit,
career.
Moms.
Take a breath.
As an individual. And I'm only starting to see little snippets of this myself, and just knowing how women can operate sometimes, I can imagine that it probably can get quite hectic on the world stage behind closed doors. So, have you experienced this before, and how do you manage that?
Yeah, I mean, it's
what
a
was
super
the question again.
Can we go back to Mary?
Mary and Karen.
I think it's a really good question for, especially if you haven't seen cycling before. Exactly what you said. You know, it's so weird to think that there's so many people on this team and then one person's winning. It's absolutely crazy for the normal person to comprehend. But as cyclists, we can appreciate this.
Yeah.
Mm. And yeah, in a normal team, like in a normal race, maybe we might have really two people that will actually get to the finish line kind of in the top couple. Mm. We'll usually have all that for 1 liter. And then the rest are all in support. And sometimes, depending on the race, there might be like some kind of opportunities for some riders to maybe go up the road or try some sort of counter moves or things like this.
Yeah.
But for a couple of us athletes, it's like you go fully sacrifice. And the best example I can give is like Roubaix this year. My job was to get the team to the first sector.
Yep.
First.
Yep. Yeah.
And it is flat gas and it's hectic, like out of the neutral zone.
It's like a sprint finish.
Oh, it's absolutely. So
it's,
I think
like
it was about
race,
90K in. Yeah. So it's 90K on the front. You get to kind of firstly just make sure the selection and the brake is what you want it to be.
Mm.
And kind of controlling that welding when you don't want people that you don't want off the front. And then just flat gas into the first sector and then gone. My mum was like, did you even race Roubaix? Because the women's coverage started at the first sector. The only footage of me in Roubaix is when they went all the way to the back and I think Voss was having a bike change or something.
And you were there.
And there's me at the back like, nah.
Should have been like this.
See, but that's the thing, right? Is it called domestiques?
Yeah.
They don't get the glory, even though they're doing
it.
Your
question is extremely valid for someone who doesn't know cycling.
Yeah, and I think it's a valid question.
Sacrifice myself for Wang every day.
It's not on the bike though.
But I think the main point is that in the world of like world tour racing and kind of professional cycling, this is completely expected. Yeah. Especially on Team DSM. This 100%. Is like if you came in and you hadn't done your job, like you're going home. Like
imagine
you're
being
not racing
an air pro
week.
Like, I actually want to
race myself. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. It's not gonna happen. And you're paid well, and it's also like part of your contract. Like when I signed a contract, you're not signing going like, especially as a first year, you're not signing like, oh, you're going to win this year. You're signing like you're employed to help this person. And so in my case, it's usually Charlotta, our sprinter. She's, I'm going to say, the best sprinter, woman sprinter in the world at the moment. And it's like you're employed to help her. But I can see the issue in kind of lower level cycling.
Yeah,
the local level racing. And I definitely experienced that as like a youngster coming up where you're trying to like employ these tactics that you see on TV that you see the big teams using. But in reality, you're in like under 17 or like local crits or something and you're not getting paid to do it. You're just leading out a friend. So in that point, I can totally understand that it becomes like a little bit of tension on like how much you help out or something like this.
Yeah.
And in that point, it's just like helping out your mates, I guess.
So I guess you're saying the higher you go up, the less of a problem that becomes.
Yeah. When you get higher up, it's like not even, it's doesn't even
norm.
Cross your
mind. Yeah, I think it's pretty black and
white. Although, in women's strata this year, there was a little bit of tension in between, was it Demi Vollering and
Capecchi,
yeah.
Yeah. I think in some of like a team like SD Works, when there's so many potential leaders.
So many alphas in that team.
Yeah, there's a few. So maybe like I can see, especially if, I mean, there are a couple stages in the tour this year as well where I kind of looked at the like, ooh, okay. But yeah, on my team, for example, it's, we actually set almost like a bit of a hierarchy before the race.
Yeah, you have to. Yeah.
Of like, if and an emergency hierarchy too, of like, if I can't do my job in the early position, this person takes over. Right. If this person can't do the job, then this person takes over if something happens.
In my working world, it's just called a BCP plan.
I was literally about to reference that. Yeah. Like, your job at Keystone is to help the boss.
Well, I mean, that's
like it's the same. Like he's team leader.
How do you decide that hierarchy, though? Is it based on performance and stuff?
Your race, boss.
Type of race, it's usually the people's
it's based on
director.
Looks.
It's usually the sports director who will kind of, and a little bit of who's feeling good. And that's why you have to be really brutally honest in the days before the race as well. Like, say you're the top rider and you feel like shit. Mm. Yeah, like you kind of have to say it. Otherwise, the whole team's going to be riding for you and there's a bit of... and then
they'll get pissed.
Yeah, and throughout the season as well, you kind of get told at the start of the year, like maybe this race could be a nice opportunity for you or something like that. So you do know in advance, like maybe what days are going to be your opportunity and what days you're going to be helping other people. Whereas I think in smaller teams, that's when it gets a little bit more difficult. You might not have those super long plans. You might not know how everyone's going to feel week in, week out. That's a bit of a challenge.
Speaking of those opportunities, what, like this year, I know it's kind of not on here, but what was your opportunity this year? Or what was your favorite race this year?
I think my favorite race, not at the time, but afterwards, was Roubaix.
Yeah, sick.
Just because that's such a cool race.
Yeah.
I came dead last in Roubaix.
That's so good.
I got the wooden spoon.
Finished.
I got the wooden spoon in Roubaix. I came last, and by made time cut by 1 second.
Yeah, that's epic. But you finished.
That's amazing. So that's when you know you've done your job.
Sick. So you got to finish in the Velodrome?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But all these girls were like... these girls in my kind of gruppetto group were not working the whole end bit and I just wanted to get to the finish line. I was like, come on, let's go. And then the last like 10K, they start sprinting and I was like, what the fuck is going on? Turns out, we were fighting for time cut and everyone wanted to make time cut.
I think one of the Green Edge girls, was it Tennille Campbell? I think she missed the time cut, but she still just went on and finished.
Well, you don't really have a choice because it's a start to finish. So
that's where the bus is.
Exactly. You need to get to the bus, but I can't even explain how hard these cobbles were. Like I watched it on TV and you get a feel, but when you're
it's
on
almost
them,
like you're riding on like nature's vibrator or something.
As soon as I saw it was like slow motion, I could see your eyes, I could see something going on about space and Uranus, and I was like, what the fuck is going to come out of your mouth right now? And I was like, and what do I know? It was fucking verbal diarrhea.
Typical Frankie.
Nature's vibrator on like level 100. Yeah. 5,000 RPM. Let's go.
You know what? I do love that, like, a lot of people, like yourself and, like, I guess everyone that races Roubaix is like, I fucking love it. Then you've got fucking Johnny Longlegs here in Adelaide complaining about the Wallaroo race.
The Wallaroo race is rutty, though. Like, I remember racing it and just being like, oh, my God.
This year was all dirt.
I heard, yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah. What would be your greatest achievement then that you're most proud of if the natural vibrator was this year?
The natural vibrator was not the most pleasurable.
I'm so sorry. No, I'm not.
No, I think Roubaix was just, yeah, like the achievement of finishing it. And just the people on the sidelines and like everyone like cooking barbecues so and yeah. yelling at you, although you kind of wanted them just to get out of the way so you could just ride on the dirt because it was so much better.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then like, yeah, I guess doing my job in Roubaix felt super nice, even though we didn't get the result we wanted. But I think my favorite achievement to date, it's such a weird one because it wasn't one that anyone saw. Do you know?
No. Won a Vic Park crit.
I'm sorry. I don't know if I've ever won a Vic Park B-grade crit. I don't know.
No.
No, but it was in Adelaide. When I set the...
One chop.
The IP? The IP at state titles. And there was no one there. I think there were like three people in the crowd, which is
classic Adelaide state. Hey.
Like to get the result verified, I actually had to we had to call in ASADA to get like a drug test for me.
Yeah.
So that's it. I was like waiting around like, woo. But to set a national record there, because I just like beating my own records. That's something that really motivates me.
Fuck yeah.
And at the time I didn't really think it was possible to go under the 3:20 mark. The only two people had done it, I think, at this point in the world, and it was Chloe Dygart and
she's
one of the German riders.
She's not that good.
she goes okay.
She's not bad at cycling.
Yeah.
So to just rock up on a random Saturday and no specific prep and just was on some good form and just had a good feeling. And
the Superdrome cannot be the fastest track.
The Superdrome is a shit track.
It's the worst sometimes. You'd be like, this is fucking horrible. It's not that fast a track. Just works. I don't know.
Yeah, and I had Timmy Decker, I think he was
Barcode Man.
He was looking at Barcode name giving him. He had my splits, and I think we were going for a 25 or something. And I went out and just saw -5. So we get splits that show you if you're up or down on the schedule. Mm. So -5.
That is an iPad.
Yeah, iPad. Sorry, the iPad showing the splits, and I kind of saw them, and I was like, oh, this is going to hurt in the last K. This is not good. And then for some reason, it just didn't. It was just a really good day.
That's amazing.
And, so that's one of my favorite ones because, yeah, just to beat your own times always feels nice.
Can I ask, actually, so you mentioned they had to drug test you to, legitify the results. Mm-hmm. How intensive is that? What do they do? Do they,
you
make you...
in a cup.
Is that it? You're just peeing in a cup? Or?
That time was just peeing in a cup, which is nice, but
sometimes
I'll
drink bloods.
But does someone have to watch you pee?
Yes. Yeah.
So they really do stare. Yeah. No, they don't stare up there.
They would get lost in mine. Sorry.
Wow.
Continue.
The anti-doping stuff is, for good reason, really, really stringent. And so a lot of us are actually on the testing pool where we have to put in an hour of every day, and if you're not there in that hour,
you're in the sheet.
And if you get 3 strikes, you get a 2-year ban.
Yeah. Is it called the whereabouts or something?
Whereabouts.
Hang on, you have to make yourself available
every single day.
For an hour.
Yeah.
But where do you have to go?
You have to tell them where you're going
to
be.
They
come to you.
They will come. So, okay, say I'm an elite cyclist.
Yep.
And
just go to Yochi and stay there for an hour.
If they call me right now and I'm doing the Radnet Summit podcast, can I say, meet me here in this place and then they'll watch me pee?
Yeah.
That's a kink. That is.
that's been like that for so long.
There's your motivation.
You know what's even weirder? Is when they hold the cup. Like, that's super weird.
And they hold our wank.
They did not hold the cock.
Two hands for Alex.
I was going to say, I've tried peeing in a bush and that shit does not go straight.
I just love
your face. Have you heard of a shiwi?
Wow.
Have you seen them?
What, a shiwi?
Yeah.
Well, when I was gliding and they were going to do cross country.
Why are you peeing out of a fucking plane?
Because the long
flights.
Long-haul yeah,
flights?
They're about 8 hours, and you just have to sit in the like you can't just eight get hours. Yourself out. Yeah.
You're gliding for 8 hours.
You can. You can. Oh, you can cool. theoretically glide for forever. It's a fucking flight. It's an engineless plane. You fuck.
I know.
And then so like part of the protocol for women is that you have to like put the shiwi in you.
Really?
Yeah.
It's like a Bush mechanics oh catheter.
Gosh. Something like that, yeah.
On a tangent now.
Anyway, sorry.
I'll do all that.
So,
Speaking of, you're back home.
Yes.
You're riding in Adelaide.
I haven't had to be any cups since I've been home. Although I did get like 4 tests in the month before.
I don't know where that was going either. Yeah. Like, speaking of.
4 tests before you come back home.
Yeah, something Jesus. Like that. The most annoying one was I was like, I think it was a week after my crash. It was like Sunday morning, and I get like the doorbell at 6 a.m.
It's
yeah.
always like 6 a.m. Really? Isn't it?
Always do it. Early.
You're like, hey, fucking dogs, hello. Hello.
At least
you
should be ready to go in the morning.
Yeah.
That's exactly. the only advantage.
No, and there's good reason for it, but.
Yeah. I'm actually blown away by that. I can't believe they can just show up wherever you are in like an hour.
Yeah, so like, surprise. Yeah,
and they don't have to come in that hour, they can come whenever they want.
Yeah,
but wow. the whereabouts is like I will dedicate this hour yeah. to being here.
I wish I could come whenever
of.
I wanted.
It's on the Trainer Red podcast. The last
you can
think about that.
Just right on the day. Speaking. You're back here in Adelaide. It's great weather. Is it? What's your most favourite place to ride?
In Adelaide.
Or not in Adelaide, but
just in the world.
What's your favourite place?
Oh, in the world. The world's too big.
I know, right?
There's a lot of good places to ride in the world. I've had some nice training rides, actually. And I think one of the nice things about this year is I have got to go to so many different cities and countries to ride. Like, I really did like riding around Nice, for example, this year. That was absolutely
was it?
Beautiful.
Don't
go there.
Never mind.
It is a lovely place. Have you been there?
Yeah.
No.
It's delightful.
It's very
Where
nice.
Are you based in Spain?
I'm actually not based in Spain. Nah, yeah. I think I'm the only Australian who's not. I'm based in the Netherlands.
Okay.
Which is not as nice of a place to ride. It's very flat. I live in Limburg, so they yeah, say there's there. Climbs nice. Around there, but they're not climbs.
They're not climbs.
No, they're not climbs. The longest one's about 10 minutes.
Yeah. Okay.
But if I was going to pick like my favorite ride in Adelaide, I love a McLaren Vale Loop.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh,
I think it's so nice. Like, start up windy.
Windy, yeah.
Go across down McLaren Flat and then go back along the beach.
Mm. Yeah.
There's like secret climbing in there.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're not going up any big hills, but there's just rolling the whole time.
The three of us did it on tour day, didn't we? We rode out to, was it tour day?
Yeah, maybe to go out to
but we also
Wollonga.
Did it on Australia Day as well.
I don't know, then me, and then you just fucking left us for dead.
Oh, that's
on the
right.
Way
yeah,
Lonsdale
yeah, yeah.
Highway.
Oh, Lonsdale Highway. Fucking Lonsdale Highway. He's like, yeah.
Oh, I don't come back along Lonsdale Highway, though.
I don't know what he was doing.
Like, custard tart was good at the bakery. Gave me some energy.
And just left us. Didn't even, like...
Gone.
It was far, so far from a half wheel, it wasn't fun.
Right, and we were motoring. Like, we were trying to keep pace and we couldn't...
Oh, man. Yeah, it's good. Anyway. So, that's a good loop.
Yeah. It is a good loop. Yeah.
I like that.
Sick. McLaren Vale's awesome. So, you're not currently riding with an Australian team, so DSM, you said... But there's a stack. I mean, there's some Aussies on that team, and there's obviously a stack of Aussie guys and girls in the cycling pro era. Are you guys like all tight knit bunch of guys and girls?
Yeah, I'd say so. I'm the only woman or Australian woman in DSM.
Yep.
Which is like a little bit of a challenge. It's a bit of a culture shock.
You just like took my next question.
Oh,
like, what's the pros and cons?
I mean, we can go into that in a second because there's definitely some pros and cons with that. But I'd say like because I don't live in Girona and or like
you're not part of the clique.
I'm not in the clique. I'm not in the clique.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit out of the clique.
Was there a reason that you didn't want to live in Girona? Or?
Yeah, because of the clique.
I was hoping you would get to that. Yeah.
No, I just as part of a Dutch team and I just wanted to get like the full experience, I guess. The Dutch women are the best in the world. They're obviously doing something right.
Yeah.
I wanted to kind of see what's going on there, like how are they doing things. And I thought, moving to the Netherlands and living in the Team DSM kind of share house area would be the best for that. So I'm living in like we have like a whole street of houses and they kind of give you a house. I do live like 2 doors down from Pat Eddy, who's Aussie.
Yeah, yeah, cool.
So that's nice. Yep. We're barely around at the same time.
He's making the step up to the World Tour team next year.
Yeah.
I did see that.
So he's doing super well, which is really nice to see. But, you know, it's so good when you get into a World Tour race and you see an Aussie and, like,
you
it's usually...
You can actually go, hey, how you going? Instead of going, arigato.
Arigato.
You do that again, I'll fucking head back.
And I know what you mean. That's actually a question. Like, is there language barriers? Generally, a lot of swear words are universally understood.
Fuck's the same in every language, frankly.
But, like, communicating with your teammates if they don't speak... I don't know if everyone speaks English or whatever.
Luckily on my team... No, unfortunately not. But luckily on my team, the kind of language of the team is still English.
Mm.
So, yeah, occasionally we're at the dinner table and I'm the only one... Like, they're all speaking Dutch and I'm like... Okay.
Yeah, disparate.
That's my time to zone out. I don't mind it sometimes.
Mm. Yeah. Before you signed with DSM, did you have many other offers from other teams?
DSM was the team that I was most interested in because of their sprint lead out.
Yeah.
It really was kind of like, especially in women's cycling, the most structured and kind of like refined in the world. So yeah. Especially at like the year before, they had Lorena and Charlotta and kind of Pfeiffer in there. So it was, you know, I just saw that and was like, yeah, that's
where I want to be.
Yeah. So it's, and they do have a really good developmental focus. And I think I also was drawn to an international team rather than an Aussie team because I thought, like, yeah, I just want to try something completely different. Get super uncomfortable. Yeah.
I love that.
And just do something that, yeah, no one else is kind of doing. So that was my reason. And as you said, like, there's pros and cons with that. But and it's definitely hard at times. But
yeah, do you miss home?
Yeah, sometimes.
Because you live in Adelaide or are you from?
I'm from Adelaide. All my family lives here. Yeah. So, yeah, it's super nice to be back in Adelaide when I am.
You had family come over a couple of times throughout the year.
Yeah.
Sisters and that come over
my
a bit.
My family came and watched the World Championships, which is super nice. And for my off season, my sister who lives in Toronto came to visit me because it's actually only a
8-hour
flight. Yeah. I was like, you should come more often to Europe. So that was really nice.
Oh, that's good.
Epic.
Do you train the lead out a lot or not really?
Not as much as I was expecting.
Yeah.
But all of our training, like our power profiles, like all the training we do is for that sprint training.
Yeah, cool.
But the thing is that a lot of my roles this year like was actually more in the early positioning stuff because to actually like have the skills and like positioning and those things to be at the end of those races is insanely hard. Like it is, it takes
harder than the sprint itself.
It's so hard and it does actually just take
you almost need to headbutt someone.
You do. There has been a few headbutts I've seen and so over the year the like confidence has gone so much higher and I'm feeling so much better on the bike, which is really nice and it's really cool to see the progress. So I'm hoping next year like my position lead out will shuffle up a little bit. Which would be super nice because, I really like the early positioning work, but I feel like my legs are maybe better used a little bit like more towards the back.
Third last wheel.
Depends how many on the team. But so I hope I can do a little bit more sprinty stuff because, at the moment I'm training for like 10-second max sprints and stuff. So I'd like to kind of actually use that power.
What is your max?
I was just going to say, what's the 10-second sprint power for Frankie to compare to?
10 seconds, 1100-ish.
What's your max
again
power?
You are the needle.
In a space.
Last season I was just shy of 13, so I'd like to crack 13.
That's higher than mine.
You would have cracked 1,000 yesterday.
1,400 last year out of East End.
About 1,200 consistently.
I think sprinting's still something that's incredibly new to me, though. I've only been sprinting this year. Like, and before then, I didn't do any sprint training. So I'd say like my favorite duration was actually the 4-minute power.
I was going to say.
That's kind of more my thing.
Like the TP.
What is your 4-minute power?
The last few seasons.
You probably can't actually like reveal it. So
a couple of hundred.
Like if I'm fit, like around 400.
What the fuck, man?
Nice. But it's so hard in a team pursuit position.
Like, yeah.
Really tight.
Yeah. Can't
stuff.
See where you're
so
going.
And you also can't see where you're going. Really tied up. So.
Well, I did see a photo in my stalking where you're like on the line.
Yep.
What the.
I care a lot about aero.
I have ridden the track.
Good position.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's got a good position there.
So on that, though, looking forward into next year, like what's your target races or goals or plans?
What's the vibe?
What's the vibe? I haven't got my race calendar for the road yet. So still can't comment on what road races I'm doing, but I hope to kind of like build on last season, as I said, like show myself a little bit more towards the back end of the races would be really nice. This year was just so much learning and kind of getting that confidence and like asserting yourself in the bunch, learning how to like ride in the wheels. Also like to be one of the races I was sweeper and that was so hard.
What's
like,
a sweeper?
Like on the back of your sprinter. And so you're basically like your sprinter's in front of you, you're behind them. And so you're making sure like, yeah, no one can butt into your train. So just like to have the skills to ride in a group of like 150 girls really fast is just, it's really difficult. But yeah, towards the end of the races, like was kind of riding the front all day, which is really nice progression. So that's cool. So I'd like to progress from that and kind of shift down the train a little bit. And then on the track, we have the Olympics.
Yes.
What year is that?
It's already Eastland now.
I'm just going to go to the Olympics.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, sorry, it's not.
Again.
It is not.
Des and Troy.
Yeah. So we haven't made the selections for the teams yet, but that's a big goal of everyone. Yeah. So we've got Olympic selections coming
and
up.
IP.
Yeah, so the team pursuit is the Olympic event. Unfortunately, we still don't have the individual pursuit in the Olympics. Shit. They should put it back, in my opinion.
Why'd they take it away?
To put in other stupid sports.
Yeah.
Like curling.
And even they changed like the Omnium format to be more like viewer-friendly and stuff.
Fuck the viewers.
So,
at DSM, bringing a team over to Down Under?
Yes, we are.
Okay, so possibly riding Tour Down Under.
Yeah. It's the little stage race, yes.
And Nats as well?
I don't know about road like Nats. I'm kind of...
Last year in Ballarat. You've got to...
Thank fuck it's the last year of Ballarat.
I'm kind of
wanting to boycott nationals because of the fucking course.
Just do the crit then.
Yeah, but there's still a hill in it.
That's all right. It's only a short hill. It's a power
like
hill.
Every lap.
4 minutes, baby. Let's go.
Let's do it.
Yeah. The thing about nationals that I just get so frustrated with is the course. And as a sprinter, it's like,
what is the course?
So Bunny the course hill. Is, yeah.
You go and ride it one, like if you can, just ride the last.
So it's like, I'm going to say 7 or 8 minute climb for the women.
Yeah.
And you do it like.
Two lots of it.
How many laps is the men?
22.
17. 17? No, not 20. Yeah, 16, 17.
Okay,
laps.
I think the women's ones around 10 laps.
10
or
laps
something.
Is the women's, yeah.
Yeah, so you do it 10 times, up a climb, and then you just go down the back, and then it's.
Through the uni.
Back. Then it's straight back up again. And you have to be, like, to win it, you have to be a really unrealistic weight in January. And I'm just, I'm not for that.
You like Christmas?
It's too early. I just think for like your lot, well, like you can lean up during the season, but.
300 Ks on Christmas Eve. That'll be a few calories.
That should get
don't eat for a few days. Sorted.
Yeah, still Knox, mineral water. Yeah.
Where would you like to see nationals go? Because I've heard a few rumours.
Honestly.
Oh,
I
that's
wouldn't
savage.
Even.
Oh,
yeah, Jesus. I wouldn't even the, mind some climbing, but like climbing's fine. Even. Like, even if they wanted to keep it in Ballarat, but just, like, every now and then tack on a little bit of extra, flat length around it or something like this, just so the sprinters can have, like, one chance.
It'd be nice to see, like, the jersey in another, like...
style of rider.
Correct.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Maybe not so much the women. The men have shared it around. Caleb's one of their...
Housler.
True. Housler's
still
one
the best looking Oz kit ever.
Housler, you've obviously... Maya, so but yeah, the women it tends to be more the climbers.
Yeah, it is just a savage course. So hope like maybe we can have a little bit more of like a opportunistic rider kind of course.
Bring
it doesn't have to be flat.
Bring it to Adelaide and make it part of the TDU. Like it just makes
Adelaide
sense.
Adelaide would be so cool. And if you're gonna make the road race hilly, then maybe just do a flat time trial. Even the time trial's climbing.
Yeah, time trial's tough on that course.
And and the crit's hilly. So with all three races quite hilly, it's a little bit hard if you're a bigger rider.
Question, it's not on here. Any
No.
I'm like, obviously you've gone through the ranks, like from junior to you're elite now, you're the best of the best. What advice would you give your former self or a young girl going up the ranks now?
I think if I was going to give advice to, yeah, a young girl coming through, it's consistency. That's the most important thing.
She's talking there to you. She's just fucking staring at your soul right now.
Yeah.
Should I be? All right. No, I think, you know, there are so many athletes that come through just like boom and bust that are so good and they've got so much natural talent and they're just like flying and yeah. It's like easy to just like when you get so many fourth places or fifth places or just behind them, it's like, oh, far out. But a lot of my successes have come after just like chipping away, like
love a cockroach,
yeah, just so I think like I'd say one of my strengths is that like I really don't miss sessions,
so good
ever,
yeah,
don't really get in like big injuries or big sick days or something like this, like
apart
I usually just try and do something
arm.
Yeah, but like still just trying to like get on and just do something straight after the injury or straight after the when you're sick, like just not doing anything, so just chipping away at it slowly. I think that's been the biggest thing, because yeah, there's been a lot of amazing athletes that I've seen in my time come through for a year or two and then gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so. On the, like, I know we were talking about, like, domestics and that whole scenario, like, just before. Is there anyone that you feel like that has helped you get to where you are from sacrificing or vice versa as well?
Oh, absolutely. Like, there's so many people that, like, I can't even, like, name everyone, but so many people, especially in the Adelaide cycling community that, like, either identified that like maybe I could go somewhere and helped me through. Like, for example, I wouldn't have even started cycling or joined cycling if it wasn't for a triathlon coach who came and saw my he was at like my school, I think, sort of saw that I could swim and saw that I could run, and his name is Steve O'Brien, and he said, oh, can you ride a bike? And I was like, not really.
I was terrible.
I was so bad at cycling. I'd gone through the TID process, but I was still quite terrible. Last in every NJTS, it was like a little track series thing, and I was terrible at cycling. But, you know, he brought me in and had me training with some local boys and, you know, offered me free coaching just to do some races and those sorts of things. Taught me how to really ride a road bike. And if it's not for people like that in Adelaide, then yeah, I wouldn't have stayed on a bike, because when you're a 14-year-old girl, it's a hard sport to start. Like, you're not just gonna go out and ride in the hills. That's bizarre. And then yeah, my early coaches, like Brett Aitken was my coach for so many years, and like yeah, just coming up through there and just always having that belief from my coaches is definitely made a huge thing. And then yeah, the family and friends and just riding buddies as well, who you're out with every weekend, makes a massive thing.
In my experience, cycling's been the kind of sport, it's like you kind of have to know someone to like bring you in.
Yeah, which
it's really difficult,
which I don't like. It's I see it as sometimes a bad thing.
Yes,
it can be a bit clicky. Yeah,
sorry, just choking.
Yeah. One thing I got like told the other day though, which is really nice, is I have two friends, both who I do uni with, and they've just taken up cycling like in the last year. I kind of convinced them it was a good idea to start.
Yeah.
And they went out to the Ride Contour Saturday ride the other week.
Yeah, it's a vibe.
And did the B grade, or like the kind of slower one. Ride.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh my God, like it's so nice to have a group in Adelaide that's not clicky, and like they felt included and all of that. So
yeah, it's so
good. Nice
to
see that.
Rides for everybody. So yeah. I reckon 2 weeks ago I did the B grade just for an easy day before the freeway commission, and there was a couple of girls.
Yeah, I did one like maybe
I think it was last week.
Last week, my first week back, I just jumped on and I thought it was so fun. So
yeah, it's good.
Super
Contour,
nice if
place
we've
to be.
Got if we've got a few rides in Adelaide going a week where anyone can join in. And
because it's historically it's been like the group rides of ease have been like
chop.
supers chop. And it's like training city type of race where. You know what, in fairness, I would expect it to be clicky because you don't need people crashing.
No, exactly. And
that still happens.
Yeah, it does.
But even just to like find a group to ride with on, it's still like
that's
even
not
if you
at a ridiculously
easy,
fast level, you know.
Yeah,
yeah.
Even just find an easy
You should
group.
Start doing the contour
rides.
Yeah,
you would benefit
on Saturdays
from contour
on
rides.
Do their B grade ride,
okay,
beach
super
ride.
Nice, yeah.
Okay. Even today they do an A and a B grade ride. Shelby took the B grade ride, and that just cut out.
One of the climbs, yeah.
Cut out windy. So they just did Brown Hill Creek and
Waterfall.
Waterfall.
Well, actually, so my
ex Tim and someone they started that. It was called the Wholesome Sunday Run.
Wholesome Sundays, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, your ex I've done that a few times. Your ex isn't there, so you can come out.
It's safe.
And it's actually called the Ride Con to a B-grade ride.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Completely different, all right? Anyway, notable mention.
Question we didn't get on here. Hang on. Leave this question off?
What one?
Oh, I wrote the run sheet, sorry. I just didn't think it would even get up there.
Yeah, of course it's up.
Do you want to place a wager?
Zinger burger, good or bad?
Oh, God. Zinger burgers.
Yeah, are you a KFC fan?
No.
See, terrible question.
Shut up, Frankie. Well,
so say, for instance, you've done 300 Ks like this Christmas Eve, right?
Coming.
Yeah, what would be your... Like,
what would be guilty pleasure?
What's, yeah. What's your fuss?
I feel like you're a hot chips kind of guy. I think, like, this is so weird, but
this
on the long
ride...
says
a lot about you.
After a long ride, I always like crave like a milkshake or something like that. Like something sweet.
Chocolate milk.
No, chocky milk. Oh my gosh.
Like a Nippy's chocky
so
milk.
Good.
Nah, yeah. Farmers Union.
Nah, I'm about Nippy's, eh?
Could be good.
God.
Yeah. No. Or stopping at the cafe on the way back.
That was the first thing I smashed when I got home last night.
Orange spot.
It was a chocky milk.
Ew.
One of the best recovery drinks you can get.
It's true. It is.
It is, unfortunately.
All right.
You're going to say something?
Was I?
I don't know.
Okay. Move on.
Something about charity rides or something.
Thank you, Microwave.
Breakthrough Foundation.
So we have a notable mention. And news from the summit. So apparently, Lionhearts.
What do you mean apparently? You threw this at us. Yeah. Like, this needs to be in here.
Yeah, well, so during the 2023 Super Series. So there's a team called Lionhearts, I think, that's raising money and awareness for our close friends and Adelaide-based children's charity Lionhearts Learning. So they're offering free preschool to any child that's been impacted by cancer and therefore not able to attend public kindergartens. And I think the reason why they're trying to raise this money is that obviously if you have cancer, you have to be in a very like sterile environment to, you know, you're immunocompromised, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, it offers the children the much needed social and educational skills and, you know, the importantly, like family hours of respite and stuff like that. So they have their raffle going during the Super Series, and they have amazing prizes. And I think they're selling the remaining tickets and drawing the winners at the Unley round next weekend. Ooh. So we'll post a link to their raffle in the socials.
Yeah,
and so they were done stealing the sausage sizzle yesterday. Yeah.
Yes, so, they were.
Yeah, I smashed about three of those before the race. And then chocolate
donut. Sausages before the race as well.
They were good.
Before? Jeez,
yes. Yeah, 10 minutes before the race, I
and shout out
donut.
To them because they recognise us too.
You're an animal,
exactly, and that's why we're doing a little
two
notable
sausages
shout
and
out.
Sauce and a
they recognise me and Wang.
Yes, but I know how important that kind of support is because with my brother, so he had terminal. Well, not terminal. He wasn't terminal. He was, but then he didn't become terminal.
Went to remission.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He had brain cancer as a 5-year-old kid. So I know how important like this kind of stuff is.
Ronald
so.
McDonald House and stuff. Like as much as McDonald's gets a bad rap, the Ronald McDonald House and what they do for families is fucking amazing.
Yeah, so it's
people who don't see that. Yeah,
it's same ballpark. So you know, good work, guys.
Yeah, sweet.
Good work, Frankie.
All right.
Thanks,
nice one, Frankie.
Arigito.
Yes, Arigito. Right. I drink the Chinoto.
Yeah. Let's jump right into it. The main reason why we exist is to see who's been spinning up the summit this week and check out the times for the folks who've been giving us a show. Might be the fast guys, might be the slower ones. It's going to be everyone in between. Stop it. But like we said, we'll dive into their rides and data a little bit more robustly and we'll see who and what has caught Frankie's eyes on the leaderboards for two hand picks this week for some fun and microwavably unsafe. What have you got for us?
All right. Firstly, for our top man, speed at 24k an hour or 24 and a half. I wonder if he was drafting there. And 443 watts.
443 watts.
I don't know much about watts for guys, but I feel like
that
that's
is
high
massive.
As a man.
Yeah. So to put in perspective, if Wang here does 400 watts, it's like glow 12s.
I'll break the com.
Ooh.
So sub 12 for me is about
he's, 400. He's a big boy though.
420. Yeah,
Mr. 80 plus. I mean,
we have Mr. Chris Hunt.
Mr. Chris Hunt. How many beers have you had?
How many chalky milks have you had?
I'm not wearing my glasses today. Mr. Croissant. Right.
We're going to call him Mr. Croissant.
When he gets a PB, he's Mr. Croissant.
I'm
going to
zoom in for the remainders of these things.
Sorry, it's a touch screen.
Oh, brilliant.
There you go.
And he did a time of 13:25.
Oof.
And ride length of 51K, so potentially he's just gone and smashed an effort up there.
That's right.
Does it very, very right consistently work. Does it once a week. Like,
oh.
Yep. Wednesday nights.
Over 400 club.
Yeah.
Always.
All right. And then for the women, on the 7th of November, we have Savage Sweet Potato with a time of 15:49.
Mm-hmm.
That is a solid effort.
Mm-hmm. This would have been a little leg opener for her because she raced.
A leg opener?
Yeah, not the one with she raced Dirty Warnie.
Wow. Yeah. And yeah, 250 watts average. I think she's not big either, so that's pretty high watts.
Yeah, what's the equivalent for, because you guys,
she's sub,
so different.
She's like 50 kilos, I think.
I reckon my like best time up there is probably pretty similar to that, and I think I had to do about 290 or something for that.
Okay.
So, wow. She's done a great time up there.
So good.
Yeah, super nice. But it says here a PB is 14:19. Yeah. So that's pretty rapid. Yeah.
She's in the top 10.
Yeah.
She's like 30 kilos dripping wet, right?
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah, there's some fast times for, I mean, both men and women, but yeah, some of the women's times up there. I'll stick to some of the shorter climbs, I'll like Windy, I think.
I'll stick to my port, what's the...
You got the chop off record. I was going to say, who owns the sassy swap off column these days?
Cooper's size has got it.
Knows this off the top.
It's a good one to have, though.
Yeah, we had a quick, well, not week, I didn't do it, but there was a quick one
last week.
2 weeks ago.
Last week.
56.
Oof.
But the comms, 55.
Yeah, right.
Wow.
5 in a few seconds.
What happened in the men's catch wire?
Well, another Dirty Warnie competitor actually got fourth.
You got fourth, I think.
Yeah. So congratulations to Mr. Lightweight.
Lightweight.
And this was the very, very first name that we ever made on the podcast ever. Yep.
There is a YouTube video of Ronnie Coleman saying lightweight baby for like 8 hours. It's very good motivation. so our Mr. Lightweight did an 18:04 with 286 average watts, just chilling out with I can't see average ride length. Oh, just 100Ks. 100K. Just lazy. Another leg opener.
See how he went to 100K? He didn't stop at 99.
Oh, I would have done it.
No.
Come on.
I'll stop at 99.9.
Yeah, you will.
Oh, I love that.
Incredibly unsafe. No.
His PB is 11:40, by the way.
Rapid.
So, yes. Second off the ranks, we've got the hungry, very hungry caterpillar.
Mm. Oh, someone was looking at a book when they did that. Yeah, okay, Frankie. You lost a...
My contact just gone to the back of my eye.
Oh,
it's the back of your eye.
Yeah. It'll come out.
But you didn't see that coming.
So now does it look like Mr. Consultant to you?
Just squirt your water bottle in it.
Yeah.
Do we need to pull it?
All right.
Oh, God.
Wow.
We did.
Do we need... Are you okay?
Are you good?
You can keep going.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
18:06, 121Ks ride length. No power, but 154 beats per minute. I think he's just chilling.
I'm just going to evacuate myself.
Yeah.
I'll be back in a second.
Okay.
Keep going.
Third, we've got Corella Deville with an 18:10, 31K ride, 144 average beats per minute. Just chilling. Second last, we have Honey Boo Boo.
That's a good
hopefully
name.
That is not a place on Paynham Road.
Paynham Road.
Hopefully not.
Yeah. With an 18:25, 53K ride length, 236 average watts, so just chilling like a villain there. Last but not least, we have Chicken Legs. Oh, yeah. 18:34, no ride length?
No ride length, so he didn't ride.
Just appeared.
Oh.
Yeah, okay, cool.
He's
cool.
Got a quick...
Transcended on
just apparated onto
he's got
the summit.
He's a quick
summit. PB. Oof, 13:21. Oof. Yeah. This time he did 18:34 with cruising. 220... I'm just spat on you, sorry, mate. 228 watts. 170 heart rate?
Oof.
What's going on there?
He hasn't been doing much.
Maybe he's sick.
Okay.
I think he's that's high.
He's to be our teammate.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, he's the
once
women.
Upon a time. Was he? Mm. Did he actually... Oh. Oh, yeah, he did too.
All right. So in the women's bracket, it's not a bracket, it's just times, isn't it? Mm.
Yeah, it's just a...
Oh, look who we have.
Yeah, look who we have.
Little podcast teamy here, little Miss Piggy, on a ride, 40-kilometre ride. Oh, yep, this was the other night during Greek class.
Greek class.
Yeah, I won't say what the message I wrote back to her was when I said, what's going on in Greek class?
Before you read out of time, though, she's like, you let your guest know that I took her com for 3x waterfalls the other day.
3x?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was your
yeah.
Why would anyone want to do 3x waterfall? Like, I did that. Oh.
This guy would do 3x.
I've got it for.
I used to do it all the time. Yeah. One, she's two, gone out and done 3x waterfall for fun. Then
she did 4, actually, I think.
is there a segment for 4? Yeah, there is.
Oh, there's one for 3.
You can make one.
Anyway,
yeah, that's right.
What did
the
she do?
The secret is to bash the descents, not to go up very fast.
So we've got a time of 19:39, a little bit off her PB, which is 17:22.
She is gunning for that this summer. You're listening, Miss Piggy?
We'll get it happening.
We can celebrate with lemon meringue shots.
Espresso martinis.
Yes.
Average power of 254 and 162 beats per minute. Next, we have Egghead with a time of...
That's 20. A bad thing.
Fucking savage one, eh?
There's some bad names on here.
Do you know, this is back in the days of Josh. I wanted to call someone salty prolapse.
And I refused to let that go through.
Do you want me to tell you about a salty prolapse?
What?
Do you want me to tell you about a salty prolapse?
Sure. No.
Many, many years. I've never told you.
Tell me now.
Yeah. I had a patient, a 7-year-old patient, and when I was nursing in a surgical ward, and her vagina prolapsed, so I had to pack it back in.
But did you put it back in properly?
I had to.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
It's like a squid, but inversed.
Wasn't so much a squid. Anyway.
I think that's made the pod 3x now.
I love how she doesn't listen to it. She's like, what? Really?
Carry on.
Yeah. Next we have...
I'm very proud of this name, just saying.
I like it.
Favourite of mine here, Shaquille Oatmeal.
That's pretty good.
Of a targeted ride for this young lady. 37 kilometres. She's got a PB of 19:19, so she wasn't actually far off. Maybe we'd have a chat to her and get her to pace for her PB. 20 minutes 34 was her time, 16k an hour average. What's going on over there?
I think there's a frog over there.
Next we have with a time of 21:28, yes, a PB by 2%. So if you're listening, Kaiser Wilhelm, you can message us to change your
Spanish
name.
Spanish enough for you?
Kaiser. I just loved hearing him trying to pronounce it.
I think I've done a good job. 113 kilometres, no power, 160 beats per minute. Then we have Fleabag. That's not a nice name either.
That's actually a TV show.
22:49, 10% off her PB, 20-kilometre ride. She's pretty much gone up and down and then racked it.
I should also note that that person has gotten a PB that hasn't actually been identified in the podcast.
So it doesn't matter. We didn't pick them that week.
Okay.
Moving on. She can
change her name as well if she wants.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's another call.
There's the one again.
And
then lastly, with a time of 22:40. Oh, no, that was it. We're done.
Okay, sorry.
First hand pick of the week.
Yes.
Okay.
Frankie's hand pick. The next one's Wayne's hand pick.
At 170 beats per minute, 221 watts, 22 minutes flat, Seymour Cox.
Oh, shit.
You love that one, don't you?
I love that.
Is that your current Facebook status?
So apparently, shout out to this bloke, Seymour, because he wrote on his ride title,
Not
for the Radelaide Summit crew to ignore this or something or other. So we've identified you. We've shouted you out.
This person basically wrote...
His name's Seymour Cox.
Yeah. He wrote on his ride... You would know because you said in the chat. It. And he just said, please, Radelaide Summit podcast, if you see this, ignore it. And we're not ignoring
it. We're not ignoring it.
Didn't he want to change his name as well?
No.
He doesn't have one.
Reverse psychology.
He's one out of this.
He wants it.
And he my second hand pick, or mine and Wang's hand pick for the week, actually, and they wrote in and they want their own category, so we'll have to create this. He wants to be called under the Ruggedly Handsome Blokes Not Built Like Little Girls.
Is he changing his name?
No, that's the category he wants to be in, and that is Pout Van Aert.
Yes.
Is he going to change his name?
No, he's not going to change
his
name.
He's keeping it
as that. He got a rapid PB. I think he took almost 90 seconds off of his... Jesus.
What is his new PB, please?
14:02. Faster, you little bitch. Three seconds. Go
get into that
14. 381 watts, though. Average.
How much?
381.
Woo.
I'm going to take some credit for this PB as well, because he did message me. Strategy. He did message me the morning of.
Yep.
First of all, asked me to pace him, and I was like, no, I'm working.
So you hear that.
Advice on how to ride it.
175 beats per minute, 23.4 Ks an hour. Just came back from COVID.
Put himself
now
in,
can't even ride his bike.
Put himself in the bin that much that he couldn't even start.
I'm intrigued with the how to ride it. Has the podcast ever done just a full episode on how to ride up Norton Summit?
That's coming.
It's coming. We need a masterclass. Some takes on it.
I think the very first episode we like walked through.
We did some negative splits.
We just got to get
positive splits.
Our guest for that, which is myself and the real Shamoy.
Yeah, cool.
Which are...
I would say both of you are freaks in general.
Mm-hmm.
But he rides it totally different.
Both of them
ride
it completely different. Yeah, it's funny to watch. Anyway, what's happening, Frankie?
Yes, so this week, the Adelaide Hills
World's longest
cookie things. On the 26th of November, we've got Forest and Road Race down at Gummarachera. Gummaraka.
Gummarachera.
I read what was on the fucking sheet. Look at that.
Those bastards.
Okay. I've read what was there.
That is not
Can
your
I
vibe.
Tell you a story about Gummarachera?
Yeah, sure.
I was in that race one time, got dropped cramps.
No. Wow.
Something new.
You haven't cramped for a while. Did you cramp in New Zealand on the Mount Byron?
I cramped in the fucking whitewater raft when I was like, I'm going to die. I'm like,
Did you cramp yesterday?
No. I had 8 salt tablets yesterday.
Salty. Does it feel weird?
Yeah, I don't have to put it in my chips. I just eat them. So anyway, the last climb, Forreston Road Race, we need like up to the finish. Yeah. I had cramped off the back with another dude and my girlfriend at the time then. I was like, she's going to be freaking out because I'm like half an hour behind the race. Mm. And so we come around the corner going up the hill and there's this Toyota Hilux doing like a 400-point turn in the crowd trying to come back down the hill to find out where I am.
That's your girlfriend,
wasn't it?
I was like, I'm okay. Thank you. Anywho, moving on.
Thank you for that story. So,
that's fair.
So, on Cycling SA, Tuesday the 14th and Wednesday the 15th of November, there's a sprint and para sprint and the advanced junior training at the Adelaide Superdrome. Oz Cycling SA, the 19th of November on a Sunday, we've got Super Next Series Sunday. Round 8 only crit. Port Adelaide Cycling Club, we've got the Tuesday the 14th of November, Critty Titty City.
Critty Titty City.
In the Adelaide Parklands, we've also got on the 16th of November, the Moto Pace Track. I know,
Frankie.
I actually had to stop myself.
Did you say aneurysm then?
Yes, because I was like, motorboating. I was like, no.
You actually do need to see more cops.
I do. I just, it's as dry as the desert. All right. Anyway, that's at Hanson Reserve. Then we have, what's SCC?
It's
just
off Hanson
Road. South Coast Cycling.
Where's that?
Down south.
Okay. On the 15th of November and Friday the 17th of November. We've got training and racing down at Edwardstown Velodrome. And if we probably miss shit, but if you want to know it, go on fucking Entry Boss. Actually, sorry to make this episode even longer than it already is.
That's fine.
If you're not in the cycling community, right, and no one tells you, like, where you need to go to, like, sign up for races.
That's shit.
And if you need to, like, navigate through fucking Entry Boss, just, like, trying to go through a maze.
It's the easiest thing ever.
Oh, it's only easy when you know how to use it. Imagine being someone using it for the first time. Where the fuck?
Yeah,
it would be so difficult.
Isn't there a tab that you click on events and then it categorizes it in date form?
Yeah, there.
Anyway.
Kashi.
Yeah, here you go.
Yeah, good, man. Yeah, good.
So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, boys, girls, all creatures in between.
Fridges. I'm a fridge.
Cox, Sahara Deserts, all of that.
Prolapse.
If you have enjoyed... Salty ones. Salty. If you've enjoyed yourself, I know I have actually, so why don't you give us a follow through your favourite podcast apps and access all our episodes through YouTube as well. Please subscribe, hit the bell icon.
Ding!
And don't forget to tell all your friends and share it with you as well.
Now, we are all over the socials. We'll give you updates, info, and let you know when new episodes are out, along with other podcast news and information. And if you'd like to support the podcast, head to our Buy Me a Coffee page. And if you donate, we'll give you a shout-out on the podcast.
We do need three more stands, don't we?
Yes.
Yeah.
We're getting there.
Hell yeah.
We would love your feedback and to know your thoughts, so hit us up. Let us have a chat through our Facebook or Instagram page, or shoot us something through to our email at radladesummit@gmail.com. And with that... Matthew. New segment of the show.
I'm liking this joke of the pod as well.
Yeah, we've had some good feedback.
We're getting listeners actually sending jokes in now.
Oh, excellent.
If you have a joke, please send them in.
If you have a joke you want to read out, yeah, we'll give you credit.
This one, car crash going on over there.
This joke, I'll credit Instagram on my late night scrolling.
Trolling.
I do a bit of that as well.
Same, but different. Same.
So, what do a pizza delivery driver and a gynecologist both have in common?
They can see it, Matthew, but they can't eat it.
Frankie. Why did you have to ruin it?
Is that correct?
Yes, we told you before.
Oh, yeah, I did.
They can smell it, but they can't eat it.
They can smell it. Yeah.
How good's a good pizza? You know, it smells delicious. And with that,
see you on Summer this week.
See you on Summer this week. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.